Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
Yo, Spilks, what's going on?
What is going on? Trying not to look like crap because you post our little video clips sometimes. So, but let's be real. I don't like even brush my hair on Mondays.
I say I just got my hair done. So like, that's my excuse. You'll be proud of me. I bought the heatless curl wrap thingy that you,
Dude, it's a game changer. So,
can you show me how to use it? Can we like FaceTime?
Yeah, dude, okay. Like honestly, like do it without water. I did it like when my hair was like wet and damp. And
that's what my hairstylist said. She said if you're gonna wet it very, very lightly, she's like, but I would recommend it.
Yeah, so I like messed up there, and like you have like a lot of hair like me, so like mine, like I did mine, and then like 14 hours later, it was still fucking wet when I took it out of the thing, so like the curls were like soggy, it wasn't even like cute. But yeah, I just feel like I need to look not like crap right now since your hair looks so good and you got it nice and dark. And we were just talking about why you got it dark. So enlighten everybody. Why are we dark hair?
Well, one, I actually was born with jet black hair, believe it or not. So like, even though I'm like naturally blonde, I used to like have like black hair. So I love dark hair. Also just kind of playing around with it since I will be competing sometime this year. Just kind of like playing around with like how dark I want my hair, making sure like it matches my eyebrows, making sure it highlights my blue eyes, and making sure it matches like whatever suit color that I'll go with. But in full transparency, I'll probably do two suits again because there's one color that I know will, and this is going to sound really arrogant, but this is not what I mean. I know there's one color that will win or that is more safe versus there's another color that I just want to rock that is maybe a little bit less safe when it comes to the overall package of bikini, like not just like, you know, the physique, but the overall presentation. So I'll probably flirt with two colors. So I want to make sure that my hair complements those two colors.
Yes. So I know Ash's two suit colors and I agree with the statement of one is safe and one is bold. Let's go with that.
Ooh, I like that bold.
Yeah, it's very bold and it's a very hard color to pull off. An example, this, I'm not going to give away the suit color or anything like that, but my athlete Amber that I put on stage, she had that light pink suit. Do you remember that? I remember
she had a Barbie moment. Yeah.
Yes, remember. And it's so her personality though. She's such a Barbie. And I remember sending it to you and I was just like, man, I don't know. And she had a backup suit. She had a blue suit too that she wore before. And she sent me the blue suit. And in my mind, I was like, wow, the blue suit's safe. But something about it was like, this light pink is bold. It's different. It's a risk, but we took it. And thankfully it looked well on her. It looked really, really good.
It really did. The only thing that I hate about like her pink suit is not the pink suit of itself. It was the backdrop at her show because it was red.
I know, but you can't like, how are you gonna fucking know that?
No, of course not, right? Like the only shows that you're like sure of the backdrop is like the Arnold and the Olympia.
Right, yeah, because they're always the same. But I know, I was like, that was the only thing that sucked. But yeah, I'm like, they should all be like black or gray or neutral.
So, they need to be standardized for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, like agreed. Yeah. But that's why Ash got her super dark hair. And then this week, guess what else came in? You have an exciting week. I'm just like talking about it like for you. But what else came in this week for you?
I got my new shoes. So I'll go get them right now.
Ooh, we love that. Did you, you've practiced them. You just posted photos yesterday. Were you wearing them? I didn't even notice.
No, they literally just came in today.
Today? Okay.
Yeah. So I went with the Shoe Fairy. I got the Olympia Mule. Yeah. Very excited. Yes.
So your heels now that you've been practicing in. So the mules don't have straps. That's essentially what they are.
Correct.
So the ones you have now, do they have straps?
No.
Oh, okay, cool. So I've always had straps. I just busted. So when my heels break, I usually go through like in a competition season. I went through like four pairs of the same shoe. I kept snapping the strap on them. I don't know, like if I just pull them too tight, heat, moisture, all that shit.
No, the same thing happened to mine because I used to have straps, but I was so tired of the straps breaking And even though Eric would kind of like repair them with glue, I was like, this is stupid. So I just went with the mule because I was tired of the straps just breaking and wearing through the plastic because of like how much I practiced or whatever. And I don't know. The only difference I got between these shoes is my first pair of shoes that were mules were through compact because I wanted like a wider base toe. And I didn't realize that the Shoe Fairy kind of had wider base shoes, but my compact shoes were a size 10, whereas these I got a size 11. So I did size up only because like off season, especially because I am an enhanced athlete and I use growth hormone, there is more swelling. And so sometimes like the shoes like are harder to wear. So I got like fatter shoes for fatter feet. But I also just want to see if a bigger size like is decent for me or if I should size down when it comes time to actual competition season.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to look at it. I think I might get mules for my next one. I'm just curious. Like, I think it's easier to get them on and off backstage too, and like you're not sitting there strapping them. When I'm like, I try and wait till the very last possible fucking minute to put those things on because we don't want inflammation. We don't want to be walking around in them. I'll practice, take them off, put my feet up, those kind of things. But like doing that a few times with the straps is annoying. And I just want to be easy. So you'll have to let me know on that. I'm curious. I think for my Shoe Fairy ones, I sized up too. I can't remember like why. I think I got like a size like 6.5 for my baby feet. But
Yeah, I
that's
haven't noticed like any difference between like strap and no strap personally. Like I get how the strap makes you feel more like secure, but like ever since I haven't used the strap, like I haven't noticed any instability, to be totally frank.
yeah. Because they're made that good. So yeah, maybe I'll try it. Maybe on my next purchase, because I actually broke my Olympias or the straps on them. And I have like an old pair that I don't like. So that's that. Speaking of broken shit, I guess that's kind of what we're talking about today.
Nice segue there. Nice segue there.
Know, I thought that was funny. We're gonna talk about broken hearts. I'm just kidding. Could you imagine if we just had like a broken heart saga? My heart's We actually used to have to say this poem in my Spanish class that talked about a broken heart. So every time I hear like a broken heart, I always think of like mi corazón, because that's like we used to have to say this fucking poem over and over, and that's like heart for Spanish. I don't know any of the other words that were in this poem, so don't ask, except for that word. So, but no, we're not talking about broken hearts. We're talking about broken bodies, dude.
Oof. Yeah, like I'm like not queen of the injuries, but kind of I've definitely had my fair share of injuries and like how I've had to like navigate, going about the healing process, training mentally, and then actually like the rehabilitation when it comes to like navigating like little tears and injuries and snags, because we can like, have our nutrition on point, our recovery, lift safely. But at the end of the day, we're still pounding our bodies
Oh.
every single day, and like injuries are bound to happen. Like they just are.
Yeah. Like, I mean, so it's been a while since you've prepped, but like first I wanna know, like, do you see like more like common, I don't want to even say common, but different types of injuries versus like off season and while you're in prep? Like, do you think people get more like I'll tell you, like for me personally, like So my last prep was a shit show. I'll talk about the injuries and that when we get to that point. But like, I feel like when cardio is getting a little bit higher and you're eating less, recovering is not the best. Like I see a lot more like tendonitis, like in my knees.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, like more inflammation based versus
And
in the off season, especially if you are an enhanced athlete, we might see more tears and strains just because like your ligaments and stuff aren't always like kind of growing with your muscles per se. So sometimes we have more strains and pops and tears. Or because our strength is exploding, we might like not be fully ready to handle the load muscle wise, even though it might feel good like mentally. And that's usually where like my injuries came from. So it's either like overuse, overzealous, or you are just being a turd and lifting with your ego and just using things or, ego lifting or having poor form breakdown or whatever, that we tend to see injuries like pop up.
don't be a turd, dude. I feel like I'm trying to think. So, oh, I don't want to sound like cocky. Maybe it's gonna make me sound like a pussy. I don't know. But like in the off season, like fingers crossed, like I haven't really ever had like an injury. Even like growing up playing soccer, I never really had an injury. I tore my groin, pulled my groin muscle once. But I never like thankfully like, you know, tore like an ACL. Like you had a pretty bad back injury not too long ago. Was that, you look at your eyes getting all big.
Honestly, my worst injury was my hamstring. And anyone who's tore a hamstring, they're nodding right now, being like, hamstring injuries suck.
Tell us what happened. When was this? We need details. I didn't even know about this. Now we're down to 97% of things
Okay,
I know.
listen, we weren't friends when this injury happened, okay? But you have heard me bitch about my bum hamstring, so.
I have, but I didn't know. I guess I never asked the story. So tell us, what were you
Story time.
doing? Yeah.
So this was back in like 2020 when I was still in my hashtag vegan girly era. And
Yes.
I was with Mark, and he was having me do two on, one off, and he had me doing like dumbbell RDLs. Well, I have like femurs, like the length of like a fucking football field, right? I just have stupid long femurs. And I always had troubles with like RDLs, leg movements always sucked because even though this was before my hamstring tore, my hips were still imbalanced as shit because I broke my left foot when I was in the seventh grade. So all of these injuries, they like will pile on
Compile.
top of one another. Yeah. And like they will screw you up biomechanically and sometimes even at the nerve, depending upon like how you get injured. And so I've always had like issues training lower body. But I remember I wasn't recovered well enough and I was ego lifting because I was like, my coach told me two on, one off. And this was at the point where I was not mentally mature enough to understand how to regulate biofeedback, right? It was like, my coach tells me to do this. By God, I'm not going to let him down. And I went to do RDLs and just felt a strain. Didn't really think much of it, you know, like there was no popping or anything like that, but I definitely felt like I was like, ooh, that wasn't a good set. And I'm like, I moved on. But that was the beginning of like a tear at the proximal end. So for those like kind of unfamiliar with anatomy, when we talk about like the proximal versus distal, it kind of like talks about origin and insertion. So like the proximal part of your hamstring is like where it attaches at your hip. So like up in the booty cheek area, almost like the inner groin. And it tore and I thought it could heal on its own. This was before like TB 500 BPC became super popular for injury repair. But I rested for so long, you know, tried to figure out movements that I could do and not do, but any hip hinging was hell no. Hell no. I could do leg curls, both seated and lying, but any type of hip hinging motion, hell no. Hell to the no. And I waited, I did physical therapy, I did dry needling, and it was kind of waves of painless pain, and it wasn't healing. And it was so fucking frustrating. And eventually I went to see a, can't think of the word, surgeon for like muscles and shit. Can't think of it.
Like an ortho?
Yes, thank you.
Oh,
I was like,
I'm
why am I
like
like
this.
having a brain fart?
I'm like
Yes,
this answer
it's
seems pretty easy.
ortho.
Okay.
After like a physical therapist kind of like recommended one to me, and he was like, we'll probably have to do surgery. And I was like devastated. I was like literally devastated, right? And then I got a second opinion from another ortho, and they're like, honestly, I could do more harm than good if we do surgery because the tear's not like that big. But what we could do is PRP, and that's like the platelet-rich plasma therapy where they take
Oh,
your own blood, spin it to get the platelets, and then re-inject it into like the site of injury to have more like repair, satellite cell regrowth, and that's what we did. And it cost, I think, like 2 or 3 grand out of pocket because insurance was like, hey, this is too experimental, like tough shit. But it worked. Thankfully, it worked. I wasn't a dummy. I didn't train legs for 3 months, which kind of sucked. But again, like it was to the point where it was like such a long injury that I drew out because I was trying to train around it. I was trying to like let my body heal on its own. But like there are some injuries where it's like, I get you need to give it time regardless, but like when it comes to tears, in my opinion, don't pussyfoot around that shit. Like, immediately go to orthos, get second and third opinions, and see what your best route is. Because I wasted, I swear to God, 8 months with my dick in my hand when I could have been done in like 3 or 4.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, you literally almost tripled that. I want to talk about like your mental during that time and like injuries. And I know you just recently had a back one that was hard for you too. I was actually pretty present for the back one, not the hamstring one. What you said, the hamstring one was worse. But we can touch on the hamstring one, and then since the back one, I was there for it a little bit more. So you said you prolonged it a lot. So, but you didn't really have the mental maturity that you do now. So, do you blame yourself? Did you have guilt for pushing through? How did you feel about like progress? Like, did you think you like were you hopeless? Like, were you like, this, I'm never gonna make it out. This sucks. I'm not gonna get to my goals. And then were you like, at the end of it, you're like, damn it, this was my fucking fault. Like, how did that feel for you?
Yeah, so during my hamstring injury, that was also part of my deep depression and insomnia days, and this like really brief stint of like deep suicidal thoughts. That was hell. That's why I said my hamstring injury was the worst, because it was deep depression, I would go days without sleeping or maybe sleeping a couple hours, trying to repair an injury. And then that was also when I was like really gung ho on trying to like get my period back naturally. So like you better believe like my OCD was like at an all-time high. I was depressed, again, suicidal, like I was in a dark spot. And so of course that clouded my judgment in doing the right thing, because I was viewing my training as like my, not my rehab, but like my therapy sessions,
Oh,
because
I was
that
gonna
was
say
like,
therapy.
yeah, because that was my escape. Because even though I wasn't sleeping, my business was fine because I was with another coaching company. So like I wasn't struggling financially by any means, but like everything else in my life was shit and in shambles versus the gym, even though Mark, took my training down to like three or five RIR, like some pussy training, I still got to be in the gym, but I wasn't getting pumps for shit. My strength was shit. Everything else was just like falling apart. But even if I got to go to the gym and do something, that gave me hope. But again, it was just everything was just crap. And like, yes, it was partially my fault for, prolonging my hamstring injury. But looking back on it, I made the best decision that I possibly could, given all of that context, because it's not like I could just focus on the hamstring injury. Honestly, I mean, not to be dark, but to be real, like there were some days I wanted to put a bullet in my brain. So like if we're talking about the hierarchy of needs, my hamstring injury was not my full focus.
Right. Yeah. No, that's the reality of it, people. Like, these injuries suck. They really do. And like you said, like, it's hard when you were using the gym as like a crutch for your mental health, and you couldn't do that, right? You couldn't do it to the best of your ability. And then, kind of fast forward to now though, like, how did you feel more recently when you had this back injury and you had that cognition of like, okay, I know better, but I still want to push. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how did you handle, like, I guess, like, so, sitting on the sidelines and taking your injury like more serious with more knowledge that you had?
Yeah, so obviously I was a lot more proactive with using things like TB500 and BPC, and then also like cryotherapy and infrared sauna. Like again, like I'm not saying those should be like your first tools of defense. It should always be like sleep, training volume, nutrition, because like those are heavy hitters. And then also like when it comes to training, okay, why did we get injured? And I'll tell you right now, like I was in a growth phase. I was squatting with Eric using the Power Squat Pro, which is kind of like a mix of like a pendulum squat and a back squat, but it's machine based. But again, I'm 5'7" and my husband is 6'2", 6'3". So in order to re-rack the weights and have it on a lower peg, like you have to like move the little flippers, right? Well, I went to like, I unloaded it, pushed the handles in. So then the full 300 plus pounds that was on my back, and I went to like move the flippers, but I went up on one tiptoe and it was just a slight little jerk, right? It wasn't like fast. It was just a small enough rotation in my thoracic cavity that it tore one of my intercostals, right? And if for those like kind of unfamiliar, intercostals, like they help you with breathing, but they also do have a component of like bracing your core, as well as, slight rotational movement too, right? So breathing hurt.
Yeah.
Sneezing. Honestly, these
Well,
muscles are so fucking fragile. You could sneeze wrong and tear one.
yeah.
Like, that's just the reality of it. And it sucked knowing that like I wasn't doing anything stupid. Like I wasn't trying to be a jerk with the load. Like I did this load for my primer set, so I knew I could handle it. It was just a fluke thing, which pissed me off. But it also opened my eyes to get back into PT work because I found out that I'm a bit rotated, both at my upper thoracic cavity and still with my hips. And so, again, kind of a blessing in disguise because it made me take mobility much more seriously and I was starting to kind
Suck ass.
slack.
Yeah. So here's what I want to, because I was part of this. So, or I was with it, or I was in the mix with you, let's say. This happened, correct me if I'm wrong, towards the end of a growth phase. And I know you were extremely frustrated because you wanted to finish your growth phase very strong, with the same intensity that you started with to push growth. So how did that, like, again, mentally affect you? Like, you were so frustrated and upset at the fact that you kind of had to pull back during this growth phase when we know what causes growth, right? Lifting heavy, training, volume intensity, training volume. So you obviously had to pull back on all of that. So how did you toggle that through your mind each day of being like, I have this injury, it's holding me back, I'm in this growth phase, I need to be growing, I'm not growing. And what does your day-to-day like mental struggle look like for you? And like now looking back, you're like the positive thing that came out of it was obviously PT, but during that time, what were we looking at in the brain of Ash?
And in full transparency, this is where I'm just gonna own it. I was a little bitch. This is where I got so caught up in my emotions. Go
But
ahead.
a lot of people deal with this. And I definitely think like that's why we're talking about it. That's why I'm asking these questions is because you're like, yeah, I was a little bitch, but like how many people have injuries and they're feeling the same way as you, but no one's gonna fucking talk about it, right? Because they don't wanna look weak and verbalize those things. So let's hear it from the source.
For sure. No, I was definitely a little bitch about it, not because of the fact that I had to pull back. It was because I just prolonged my suffering because I viewed my growth phase as an entire waste. And this was the point where I was like, I want to say 12, 13 weeks in my growth phase enhanced, and we had 2 or 3 weeks left. Like Austin just kept them in just in case it was like a minor tear instead of what it actually was. But we got to the point where like we were happy with the look, body fat was at the point where, any more would be diminishing returns, but mentally, like I just beat myself up for it. And I almost disregarded the other 12 to 16 plus weeks of work when it came to, reversing and growing again. And to completely disregard that is just childish. And again, that's where I got caught up in my emotions. I had a woe is me moment where I was just like, oh, you fucking suck. You ruined this. You're not gonna, like, I just, again, all of this negativity when in reality, it just was. As athletes, we have a 100% injury guarantee rate because of how we live life, right? Like, for crying out loud, like, again, going back to tearing the intercostal, I tore an intercostal back in 20, I want to say 2016, 2017, literally because I sneezed wrong. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, again, just you're just being human. Like being human, you have 100% guarantee that you're going to get injured in one way or the other. So it's like, accept the fact that the injury happened, understand that it wasn't for naught, and be thankful it wasn't the first week of my growth phase because that would have sucked a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, but it can definitely, oh man, it sucks. It sucks getting hurt, like you said, and thinking that everything was wasted, right? So, which you kind of had to talk yourself out of that of being like, no, dude, like I didn't waste the first, 10, 12 weeks. Like, my last prep, it was in between, I think, shows. So I had no, it was before my first show. I did four shows that year. It was before my first one. I got carpal tunnel bilaterally in both of my wrists. I could not even make a fist, and I was in
Wild.
prep. Yeah, and I was like 6 weeks out from my show. They were gonna have to do. They talked about doing surgery. I went and saw a hand specialist, and mind you, so I was 6 weeks out. This my first show was July, so this was May, and I was prepping since January. I had a very long prep, everybody. So this was like 5 months of fucking work, 5 months of dieting, cardio, training, really putting in 100% effort, and to wake up one day. I remember waking up in the middle of the night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning and my hands were numb and they were just burning. And I had to go to the ER because I was like, am I having a fucking stroke? I
Yeah.
couldn't close my hands. There was so much inflammation in my wrist. And I was devastated. I was absolutely fucking devastated. I had to pull out of the gym for like 3 weeks. I couldn't train. I was in splints. They put me in splints because I was like, we need to do everything we can to prevent surgery.
How
I
did you
can't,
wipe your ass?
dude. I didn't. I literally had to ask someone to do it for me. So yeah, I know. God bless the people in my life.
I
Shout out.
love that. That's why he has no hair.
Yeah, that's my, yeah, Alex literally has no fucking hair. But yeah, and oh my God, it was like I would just sit on my couch. I couldn't even text. I was sending voice messages to people or calling people. And then, oh my God, I literally was like the same thought process as you, like this whole thing is wasted. And like that's the thing too. Like we obviously have to rest, take some time out of the gym. And what do you do with your spare time? You just sit there and fucking think, right? Like you get all worked up. Like you said, we become little bitches. Little bitches. And thankfully, after like 2 solid weeks of like resting, not using my hands, like I couldn't even eat. I'm like, dude, just put it in a shake. I'll drink it through a fucking straw.
There you go.
Right? Yeah. Chicken in a blender, gross. I didn't do that. I was kidding, guys. So it's hard though. It's mentally hard. I thought I wasted, and like I went as far back to the point of like I wasted the whole last year fucking growing just to prep to
Wow,
not
so you
grow.
went deep in the shit then.
Oh yeah, dude. Like I was like shoulder deep in the shit. Yeah. I was like, fuck. And then I felt like you said, kind of like I just felt kind of silly because it went away and I was like, fine. Right. We obviously had to make a lot of changes, but as far as like training volume and things like that, and I was benching. I don't know why the fuck I was benching. It was in my program. My coach told me to fucking do it. And I think that's what did it. And I'm a bikini competitor. What the fuck am I benching? I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't know any better, right? But like you said, like the mental aspect of it was hard as like fuck, dude. And all I wanted to do was like, push because I was in prep. So that kind of leads us to segue to our next topic of like, when do you push and when do you pull back?
No,
Injury,
I agree.
yeah, like is there certain injuries in prep that you should push through, or even in the off season that you should, or should you completely, tap out? What like what where does your heart lie, or what do you? I mean, it's very individual based
Oh,
in
for sure. For sure.
on.
This is where you need to put like your thinking cap on, your thinking noggin, when it comes to what is the severity of the injury? Like, what is the best thing for you to do as an athlete for your long-term goals and your longevity in the sport? So if we're talking like it's a overuse injury, like a tendonitis, okay, just like take a week off, right? Or don't train that body part and just allow the inflammation to dissipate and don't be a dummy. Now, if it's a strain, a tear, obviously if it's something broken, like then you're gonna have to assess the situation. And again, put your thinking cap on, start to do research on like better ways to heal. Do you need to go to an ortho, PT? Like be proactive. Don't just wallow in your misery. Or if you do, like I'm not saying don't be emotional. Feel the emotion. It sucks. Like let's just call it what it is. It sucks to get injured. It doesn't feel good to be in pain. It doesn't feel good to be out of the gym. It doesn't feel good to know that you're not getting better per se, like you had envisioned.
Yeah, that's that. That's the hardest right there is what you said. And, but like, don't also be an idiot and push through something that's going to prolong it like you did with your hamstring. Like, you said, what is your take on, we talked about tendonitis there for a second and like pulling back and resting. What about in prep? Like for me, that would probably be one of the hardest things. Like, oh, my knees are hurting from doing all this cardio. I only have so many weeks out. I obviously need to do cardio. And you have tendonitis, and what if even my coach was like, sit down, and I would be like, no, like, what I'm saying? Like, how, like, what, like, at what point is it okay to push versus not?
This is where I'm a big fan of not having a specific show, right? Because this exact reason, what happens if you get injured? Well, thank God we can have, a time to assess the situation. If it is an overuse injury, to me as a coach, it doesn't make any sense if your like knees feel like concrete, your legs feel like concrete, and you're like on the borderline of about to like rupture something. It doesn't make sense to push through. Like it just, quite frankly, it doesn't. That's why, if we do have like a specific show, let's say you're a higher level athlete and you have qualifiers, then we just need to have a discussion. If we push through this, will you actually look your best? Or can we like put a pause in prep, get this injury taken care of, and maybe shoot for a later show? It's like, for me, I think I'd rather play it safe, understanding that like if you are injured to the point where it is going to make your physique look bad and watery, or we can't train the way we want to, or if it's going to cause some type of muscle imbalance, like I think it's best to play things smart and safe. But I know some people are like, no, let's push through, and they get great results too. But like I am someone, because of my injury status, I'm like, it ain't worth it to me. It's not worth it for a plastic trophy to push through.
Yeah, and it's definitely a tough pill to swallow. I mean, a good example is what's his name? Nick Walker. He had a hamstring
Yes,
injury.
that's
He
right.
said days out and called it. I mean, top level athlete, and they made the decision because it was not, and he tried to push through. He really did, but it did not benefit his physique. He became really watery, imbalanced, like you said. It wasn't there. And like that is, and I know for a fact that was extremely hard, obviously.
Oh, for sure.
100%, and I mean, that just goes to show that, the importance of knowing your body, knowing when to push, and not just for the safety reasons of it, but for the goal reasons of it. Like, he didn't want to go on stage looking like shit,
Yep.
looking worse than he has before, So, as us as coaches or athletes, just like having that thought process of like, okay, yeah, it's better to pull out right now because this injury is not going to benefit me. I'm not going to look better. I'm not going to be satisfied with my results. I'm not going to achieve the goal that I want to achieve, So it is best to maybe call it. Or, like you said, if you can push through and still have a pretty good physique and not be, totally wreck your fucking body, then do it, right?
For sure. I was actually talking to one of your athletes. Shout out to Ashley Nicole, my 20, because she had a low back tweak in one of her lower body days, and she like was talking about how she like decided to go out of the gym, and so I did the little clap emoji, and she's like, "Thank you, I needed that." And I was like, "Sometimes in order to spring forward, we pull back because people sleep on potential energy." And she was telling me how she's been like an athlete her whole life, so sometimes it's hard to know when to pull back if you're like being weak or if it's an excuse. And I was like, it's a sign of true strength when you realize the power of pulling back when appropriate. Any asshole can push forward, right? But it takes a true athlete to do what makes sense given context. Don't be an asshole, be an athlete. And she was like, thank you, I needed that. And it's we do need that, right? Because it doesn't make sense to push through an injury, especially since right now she's in a mini cut with you. I don't know if that she's preparing for prep or not, but like she's wanting to lose fat. So imagine she pushes through and injures herself and is now inflamed and is now unable to train and maybe not even hit her cardio and step goals.
And that's funny you say that, you bring this up. This is going to be an Ash podcast for a minute here at Triple Ash. So she, checked in, told me what happened, was going on with her back and whatnot. And I was like, hey, like, let's, she had this massage, chiropractor, doing all the things, resting, all these great things to help stimulate recovery and alleviate some of that pain, which, will probably be the end topic of this podcast next. But she messages me and she's like, hey, I was like, don't go to the gym. What's your normal training days? Are you supposed to train? This is like on Saturday or something. I was like, are you supposed to train on Sunday, Monday? She's like, yeah. I was like, don't just give it a little bit more rest, right? Because I know we're in a mini cut. I don't want things to get worse. And she's like, okay, so like, where do you want me? You want me to pull back on nutrition? How much should I drop? And I sent her a message back and I was like, I want you to reread that message. And what do you think I was going to tell you? And she's like, I was like, what are the best things that you can do right now for recovery? That's what I said. And she was like, rest, keep everything the same, make sure I'm fueling my body. Exactly. And that is a smart athlete right there, right? Versus pushing and, being in that mini cut and being like, hey, no, like I need to, continue to go through my cardio, continue to train, continue to eat less and whatever it may be. But it was just one of those moments that, we can get so caught up in the fact of always doing more when it doesn't benefit us, right? Like, we don't want to be, as you said, like an asshole. We want to be smart. We want to be a true athlete, because it is hard to sit down and cross your legs and watch the world go by as you're just waiting for your time. And I get that. So shout out to you, Asher, realizing that. Both of us are proud of you, and thank you for sliding into her DMs and giving her the little pep talk that she needed. That. But we can talk about kind of wrapping this up here, unless you have anything else on. But I just want to talk about, like, what should we do for an injury? I know we kind of touched on it, but you touched on the three biggest things, or some of the biggest things that kind of are like tier one, and then tier two, and then tier three. We'll kind of go through like that. So, like, me personally, like you said, rest, recovery, nutrition, sleep are going to be like your biggest thing. So whether that is completely pulling yourself out of the gym, decreasing, the training volume, obviously not pulling back on food, in my opinion. I don't ever do that. So I think those are going to be the biggest thing. I usually try and do all of those things first and then reassess and see how those things responded to your body versus going gung ho and, jumping ship and doing so many things right off the rip. What are your thoughts? I know, 'cause like, you've done a lot of things in the past, like, cryotherapy, you do your TB 500, injections, you do, what else have you done? PT. Yeah.
PRP.
Yeah.
I'm a
PT.
big fan in prevention first, and this is where having a good warm-up and mobility routine is important before lifting. I'm sorry, but using the Stairmaster or walking on the treadmill is not enough of a warm-up. That's great to get blood flow, heart rate up, whatever, but we need to be doing like hip articulation movements. We need to be doing cat-cows, bracing, thoracic twists, not like static stretching. That's great for after training, but like more movement
Opening, yeah.
dynamic stretching. Yeah, like actually get your joints, your muscles, your tendons, your ligaments all warmed up, moving and grooving, then start lifting, making sure you take proper warm-up sets, making sure that, we are, if we're doing like 6 to 8 rep range, that's very heavy load.
Yeah.
Making sure we have primer sets. I'm a big fan of, like, let's say we have a back squat of 6 to 8. Rather than just doing like, 15 to 75% warm up and then doing your top set load, I'm a big fan of doing 50 to 75% of your warm up and then having one set, your primer, for a 3 to 4 RIR intensity, just so you can get the idea of how heavy this fucker is about to feel, right? Yeah, not taking it till failure, but just getting your mind and muscles ready to go to war. I think that is a great tool.
Oh, I do that in my warm-up sets. Like, I have like a warm-up set or two, and then like my last warm-up set, primer set, is like what I want to use for my top set, weight-wise, volume-wise. And then I honestly do usually anywhere from like 4 to 8 reps, just to kind of see how we're feeling. And right now my top sets are like 12 to 15. So I really, cut it back just to see how it feels, like you said, because if I pick that shit up and I'm like, this is heavy, oh no, I'm not going to be able to get that many reps. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's stupid, So I think that that's a really good place to start, 'cause I never really did warm up sets until like the last 2 years. I'll be honest with you. Like,
No.
I was like, let's go in and do 3 sets of 15 for everything at the highest weight ever.
No, I get that. But honestly, also doing your mobility on rest days too, not like
Oh, I suck
perpetuating
at
your,
that.
but hold on, not perpetuating your disorder of the fact that you can't fucking sit still. None of this like after
Yeah.
rest day, you're
Yeah.
hiking 15 miles, you're doing, biking 20. Like,
Active rest day.
yeah,
Come
like,
on.
don't be 2019 Ash. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be addicted to movement. But I mean, like, seriously, like doing yoga or having like a set mobility routine where it's full body, you're doing your ankles, your knees, your hips, your thoracic rotation, shoulders, like that can be very helpful in keeping whatever mobility patterns you're establishing. And yes, it helps with lifting, but it also helps with posing too. And that's like a big win as physique athletes, especially.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does help with posing. I always like not forget about that, but it definitely makes the world of a difference, especially like, for bikini, when we're opening up for anybody, when you're opening up, twisting, all of these different things, it makes it it makes a huge difference. So yeah, I agree. Like preventative is always key there for the longevity of the sport and not being as prone to injuries, because like you said, we live in a sport where it's like 100%, you know, chances we are. Anything else? Like, so we talked about preventive, we talked about sleep, we talked about nutrition, we talked about training volume, we've talked about cryotherapy, physical therapy. Do you think that only going to physical therapy is necessary when the injury is at a point of when it's really bad, let's say? Or do you think when you start to notice something is maybe when we should be like, hey, like what would be your deciding factor to either have you or an athlete be like, hey, like maybe we need to reach out and get some physical therapy, like a reoccurring injury. You know, if some of these markers don't work, how long do you or some of these implementations don't work, like how long do you let it go until you're like, hey, we need to seek something bigger?
Yeah, honestly, I am always a fan of having a physical therapist or a sports massage therapist in retainer anyway, because we all of us have our imbalances and our cattywampusness in our body. We just do, right? Having someone who is knowledgeable, especially that can see you in person, because coaches, let's be honest, we can only do so much from videos and assessing symptoms based on what people are telling us. But when you're able to have someone in person, like actually feel your muscles or see like how you are cattywampus, that's the word of the day, kids. Like
This.
it's so beneficial. And like I really like the PT that I'm working with now because like I can tell her what is wrong with me because I feel it. I have a high degree of proprioception, but I couldn't tell you how to fix it. That's where she comes in.
Yeah, no, yeah, 100% agree. And it's like, because we can't be there, you know, and like, let alone like, what, you know, I'm not a physical therapist, I'm not a massage therapist. I don't really know. I can maybe feel something's off, but I don't fucking know, you know. I also say too, if you're going to get a massage, let's just like take a little cut here. Don't be getting like a relaxation one. Like, what the fuck is
Like a
that? Like,
shiatsu.
yeah, like we need deep tissue, guys. Like, come on. Like, I shit you not. The lady that does mine here, she does all the massages for the Cleveland Browns and the Cleveland Indians. Oh my God. Yeah. And
Cool.
she's, oh my God, she's like 5'1", this little tiny thing. Like, and she gets in there and I'm like, oh, like I come home from the massage and like I feel good, but like I'm sore for the next day or two. And I'm like, yeah, she works me like I'm a 6'4", 300-pound linebacker, because that's what she's working with normally. But we should be getting like an actual deep tissue massage, guys. Like that's where the work needs to be fucking done,
Yeah,
right?
dude, fun fact, my massage therapist is a former bodybuilder. He is 5'6", like probably 240 pounds. His name is Robert Hamilton. He owns Charleston Massage and Body Works in Mount Pleasant. I see him. I actually have upped my frequency just to like continue to take care of myself because that's how, like, I'm just a little side note here. I get mobility work is boring. It's not fun. It's difficult. It fucking sucks, right? I am a very driven person, and I'll be totally honest, I don't even like doing my mobility work. I don't, but I do it anyway. So to help myself and to encourage myself to still be on my mobility shit, if I do it every single day, then I get twice a month massages.
Love
That's my
that.
reward, right? It is rewarding good behavior with a good outcome. And that's how I'm like, now in a habit. Now it's like, oh, well, I have 15, 20 minutes in the morning. I'm going to do my mobility stuff really quickly. I don't even give it a second thought, right?
All right, I'm doing it. That's my
Do
goal for
it.
the because I suck at mobility like outside the gym on my rest days. So, and like my hips feel it, and then my workout sucks, and then I'm salty. And guess whose fault it is? My own fucking fault. So then I only have me to blame. And same thing goes as if, you know, I were to have an injury from something I could have prevented. Again, my fucking fault. So big takeaway from here is, you know, I would say, yeah, you know, preventive, like just doing the things to prevent your injury. They're gonna happen. If they do happen, be smart. Don't be a fucking asshole about it, right? And then know that, like, if you are struggling through an injury, like, you're not alone. It mentally sucks. It's mentally hard, but like, there is light at the end of the tunnel. You know, there are things that, you know, whether it is sitting out, pushing through, utilizing PT, nutrition, rest, whatever it is, whatever you fucking need, like, that's necessary for you, like, that will get you to that light at the end of the tunnel, because it can be hard. It can suck. And it can feel like, you know, whether you're in prep or you're in a growth phase or you're just maintaining whatever it is, it can feel like the world is crashing down. And that's so dramatic, but it does, you know, it's like the world is crashing down, but it's not. So that's all I got on my end. I don't know if you have anything else, but I definitely think, like, you know, prevent your injuries. If they do happen, know it's okay and you're going to get through it.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's one of those things where it sucks. It happens to all of us. But why I'm really happy that Nick Walker, like going back to that example that you pulled from like the archives, because the Olympia seems forever ago. Like Nick is like one of the truest athletes. Like he's just one of the truest athletes that loves bodybuilding through and through. And for him to push through, but then recognize he is not going to bring his best to stage and let himself down, his coach, his fans. The fact that he pulled out, I am sure just destroyed him mentally. But also now he looks like a fucking house.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
amazing. Like I cannot wait for this year's Olympia to see him at his all-time best because he decided to take the L in quotes last year to come back even better this year. Again, don't sleep on potential energy.
Yeah. Signing off on that. Seriously. Love it. Love it.
All right, guys, until next time, peace.
Adios.